What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 430, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I'm ready. I was like, I don't know. I'm ready to go. Some weeks you're like, ah, oh, I got this podcast. Not that it's like ever like that much of a chore, but some nights you're like, oh, I'm kind of tired. I hope I get the energy.
It is later pumped. For you, I'm ready too. To go. So you're.
Well, it feels later with this. I mean, I know it's been like a month since that time change, but it's still just like.
I hate the time change. I was like driving home the other day and I'm like, it feels like it's 9 p.m., but it's 5 p.m. It's the worst. Yeah. I just think the time, it needs to be changed. It's just not, it's not great. But lots to talk about this week.
Yeah, we got a lot.
Yeah, we have some interesting stuff. So we're going to go over our two reviews. One's of a motherboard, one's of another pretty cool product. We also get to talk about new Ryzen APUs that are expected to be launched in just under a couple weeks here at CES. Some leaked benchmarks on that. Arctic, out of all people, made a product that I don't think anybody needs. So we're going to talk about that. Fantex launched a sort of Corsair Link clone, I guess we'll call it that.
Yeah, the name's a little
new Master Frame series of cases from Cooler Master, Raspberry Pi 500 and a Raspberry Pi monitor. Some stuff with Valve Steam machines might be coming back. We'll talk about that. New record of concurrent users on Steam was set this over the, I think it was over the holiday. And a couple new things, especially Microsoft letting you install Windows 11 without a TPM device now. Some interesting stuff to go ahead and talk about this week. If you guys do want to follow along, as I always say, we do have our full show notes page here. That has everything that we're going to be talking about this week and links to everything. So as I'm going through, you can click through the article, or if we talk about something and you want to reference it later, it's all right here. So it's all right in the show notes. We have some people in the live chat. We have Old Man in the chat and we have Rigged in the chat. It's good to see you guys here. Like I said, we have lots to talk about. So we'll start with another Z890 motherboard. And this one is from MSI, and it's their MPG Z890 Carbon Wi-Fi. So MPG is right below MAG or MAG. So it's sort of like their enthusiast gaming line. And we all know the Carbon line. I remember when it first came out. That's how long I've been doing this. And to my surprise, this board is not all that carbony. I mean, there's like a little bit of like carbon accent here and a little bit there, but compared to previous carbon boards, right, I would say this board doesn't have a whole lot of carbon. That's not to say it's not a good looking board, because I think it's a good looking board, but compared to the carbon that we're used to, I don't see it, but it's not an all black board.
Visual.
And we have some silver accents here. It is an ATX motherboard, and of course this is a Z890 motherboard for the new Intel Core Ultra processors. Currently those are the only processors that are being supported on this socket, the new Intel socket, which is LGA 1851. So this is a board that you would be considering if you're building a new Core Ultra system here. And when it comes to power delivery on this, this is a pretty hefty VRM, a 20+1+1+1 power design. And the power phases for the CPU, which you can see right here, they're all 110 amps, which is very much the standard these days when it comes to Intel-based motherboards. So really high-end components there. And one thing that gets overlooked that most companies don't do anymore, there's a few boards that have it, but you can see the hole in the CPU socket, that is where, of course, you put your thermal probe if you want to actually monitor your CPU temperature and not rely on software. You have one on this board, which as an old school person, I definitely like to see. You can see all of the cooling that goes on for the VRMs here. So you have two really big heat sinks there. And you can see all of that. So definitely really like that. Now, one thing that's really interesting about this board is that typically in the top corner, like hiding up here, we usually find our power connectors, but they're over here. They actually just put a fan header up there, which is going to be great for a rear fan. And they've moved the 8 pins over. So you get dual 8 pins, but they've moved them over. I do like this. Because once you install a CPU cooler, especially like a larger one, like a large tower cooler, that is so hard to access after that.
Yes.
It's very, very hard.
Like impossible.
And to make this easier, they've actually put on the memory slots, there's no locks on the top part of the memory slots. So you don't have to worry about trying to fiddle between, you know, this connection and here. It's all covered. So I definitely like that as well. And even the CPU fan header, which is way over here, almost at the absolute corner of the board, it's the farthest I've seen away from the CPU socket. Again, if you need to do something, maybe you need to clean off a fan, or maybe that front fan fails, or any of your fans fail if you're using an air cooler, you don't want to have to remove the entire cooler just to take the fan off because you yep. can't access the power connection. So it's nice that they moved that around. I actually kind of really like that design here. And you can see the rest of the edge of the board here. You do have indication LEDs for like indication of your CPU, your DRAM, your graphics, and your the board here. You also have a postcode display, which I love to see. 24-pin ATX on here as well. And as we come down the board, you have USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, two USB 3.2 Gen 2, and our SATA connections. These are all at a 90-degree angle, so they don't get in the way of your expansion cards or graphics cards. So you have all that there as well. So nicely designed. I definitely like that. One thing to note, too, on the bottom of the board, you do get extra power. So there's an 8-pin down here for extra power to the board if you need it. If you do need it. So I definitely like that. There's also a water flow meter header on this board and a water pump header on this board too. So you can do all that through the BIOS if you really wanted to, if you have those type of components, if you're doing a water cooling build. The really cool thing about this is everything is toolless, literally everything, which is awesome. And this is slowly becoming the norm. Some companies will do like one M.2 is toolless or something like that. But with this board, the graphics card slot is toolless. So here you can see our top graphics card slot. And then we have the button right here. So this is going to release your graphics card so you don't have to try to get your fingers down in there. So I love that. You can see we have all heat sinks here. This top heat sink and the bottom heat sink, you can see it has tabs on the end here. Now, these tabs allow you to just pull them and then pull the actual heat sinks off. So when you pull the heat sinks off, you find all of your M.2 slots, and we have a total of 5. So the top slot is going to be your Gen 5 slot, PCI Express 5.0, and then the bottom four are going to be Gen 4. So a total of 5 slots here. Love the storage options that you get here because it's quite a lot. And one of these bottom ones will actually support SATA drives as well. And the top slot has like the little spinny plastic piece that locks it into place. But the bottom ones have this really cool system that where you just press down this little bolt right here. It's just like locks onto your SSD. So completely toolless. And then to remove it, you just press down the drive and it releases. I love these toolless systems. They're just like,
yeah, clicking in and out is handy. Yeah.
Especially my biggest thing with it wasn't that using the little screws was hard. It was that you would lose the little screws.
Right. Yeah. You're like getting it, or you're like trying to balance it on the tip and get it there.
Yeah. And if you had that tick
and you're like, well, I don't know where that's at now.
At my old place in the office, I had carpet and it was just like, one, it falls. You don't hear where it falls off the table. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to look through the carpet to find it was the worst. So really, really appreciate that with this board. Rear IO, I think Ryan will like this one We have a ton of USB ports. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 type A ports here. And they're all USB 3.2 Gen 2. Then we have 3 type C ports. These top two are Thunderbolt 4. And then you have a USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type-C as well. So Lots of connectivity here. You also have your BIOS flash button, clear CMOS button, and a smart button on the back. You can define what the smart button does, but I was a little, there's no power and reset on the board itself, right? Yeah. And you can't set the smart button to power or reset. I really would have liked that. As somebody who uses a test bench, let me reprogram the smart button to be my power or my reset. I would really like that. But you don't get that option. Wi-Fi 7 connection and HDMI, and then you have your audio here. But overall, a really well thought out board with a lot of different things. And yeah, I think it looks good. Now, when it comes to RGB lighting, you're not getting all that much. The Dragon logo on the rear IO cover lights up like this, and Ryan hates that Dragon logo. But you have the Dragon logo there that lights up. And then where on the top heatsink where it says carbon, that lights up. That is it. And you do have RGB headers on the board and everything like that. But like we've seen in this new generation of boards, they've really toned back the RGB only to a couple spots on the board. So, but overall, I think it's really well designed. Everything is kind of there. And it has all the features that you would really want in a Z890 board. You have a powerful VRM. You have Thunderbolt 4. You have USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You have all the toolless things. So it is a very solid board, Wi-Fi 7 as well. And one thing I do want to mention, I did do a BIOS video on this, and they've updated their BIOS to Click BIOS 10. And I have to say, it is so far in this current generation of X870E and Z890 motherboards, it's the best BIOS.
Wow.
It really is. I have a whole video if you want to check it out. It is on the channel, but they've redesigned their Easy. And I have to say, MSI was one of the worst. I was not a fan of MSI Click BIOS for like the longest time. Only the worst, I think ASRock was worse as far as like their BIOS. But I was never a fan of MSI. They've redesigned it. It's very easy. And this Easy mode is the most thought out Easy mode that I've seen from any manufacturer. So take a little time and watch the BIOS video, because I was just like thoroughly impressed. And for first time builders, this is a very good thing, because that has all the options you want, and everything's like so organized. And within Easy mode, you know how you have like a lot of these BIOSes have like a favorites menu that you can go into? You can access that favorites menu within the Easy mode. So you don't have to dive into the advanced mode at all. It's great. It's really, really done well. We have all of our benchmarks and everything like that in the review, so definitely check all of that out. Like I said, I really like this board. I gave it a 9 out of 10. It is expensive. It's $499, which is expensive, but all Z890 boards for the most part are expensive. I didn't like that there wasn't a lot of carbon on the board.
Yeah, if you're going to name it that, like make sure it's evident.
But yeah, it just was like, I remember when carbon launched and all the like the board had a, and it's not real carbon fiber,
right?
We know this, but it looks cool. It's like that's the style, you know. And I think the thing is, I think all these companies have had these product lines for so long, and like
running out of stuff to do. You think?
Well, they're running out of stuff to do, but like they you know the trend now is to kind of pull back from the RGB, to pull back from the sort of flashy design. So you get something that looks like this, which in the carbon line, again, I want more carbon. Or even in the ASRock Tai Chi boards this generation, right, they're not as flashy as they previously were. Yep. And for somebody who's a fan of flashy board, like I want a board to stand out. Not the biggest fan, but overall, I think if you are looking for a board, I didn't mention too, you're getting dual NICs on this, and one of them is a 5 gig NIC on it too. So you do get that. But yeah, I think it's a good board overall. If you are building a new Intel system, it's going to be able to handle overclocking. The VRMs are fine. Supports 256 gigabytes of DDR5. Like, it has everything. Has all the connectivity you want. If you're somebody like Ryan that has a million USB devices, you're covered. And you have Thunderbolt 4 as well, so you can daisy chain a ton of devices. You can do everything you want. And the front USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 that we showed you on the edge of the board, that also does 27-watt power delivery. So if you connected your front panel Type-C to that, you could do fast charging to your mobile device as well, or any device that supports fast charging. So I like that we're getting all these features finally.
Yeah, fast charging is actually really nice.
Yeah, on a lot of these boards now. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. Always fun doing motherboard reviews. It's one of my favorite things to do. In the chat, Rick says, I can't get into my BIOS. I've tried the pins reset command, Windows Center Advanced Restart. If you need to get into your BIOS, typically when you boot your system, just keep on hitting the delete key, not the backspace, the delete. Let me try to show you this, the delete key. Just keep on pressing that. Just like go like this until you get into the BIOS. That should get you into the BIOS typically. And in all of my BIOS videos, I tell you that as well. So if you are wondering, again, I tell you just keep on hitting the delete key. That's how you get into the BIOS. That's what in all of our BIOS videos, it's one of the most common questions we get is how do I get into the BIOS?
Wow.
Because a lot of people try to do like restart within Windows or like a... Yeah. Advanced restart or safe mode, and they're like, why can't I get into Windows? But they don't realize that you have to just keep on hitting the delete key.
Keep jamming on it. Yep.
Yeah. And it will finally bring you in. And if you miss it, you miss hitting the delete because that BIOS load screen is only up there for it's not very long. So you have to just keep on hitting it. But hopefully that helps, Rick, to get you going into your BIOS. Now we'll move on from that to a product that you may not know that Asus makes, and I wasn't necessarily really aware of it. And they reached out and asked if I wanted to check it out. And I was like, this is a pretty cool product. I have it right here. It's not all that big. I mean, to give you an idea of the size, I mean, here it is. It
looks good.
Yeah. So this is their ZenBeam L2, which is a projector. So Asus makes projectors, and this is their L2. So this is their second generation projector. And it's a 1080p projector, 960 lumens, has all the connectivity you would want. So you have HDMI, you have Type-C input, you have USB input as well on the back. And in the top, I can take this off actually, there's a built-in Android TV box in the top. So it's an all-in-one unit. It's all ready to go out of the box. And the thing that's cool about it is it's really all-in-one. What I mean by that is that it has a battery built in.
Yeah, that's what surprised me.
It has a battery and it has a screen. So you can take this. I could literally turn this on right now and it would boot up and we'd be ready to go. So the battery gives you 3.5 hours of playtime. And that's typically enough for a full-length movie unless you're watching something that's super, super long.
Titanic.
Yeah, or anything. And it has a 10-watt speaker in here as well, which sounds pretty decent. So you would be covered, but you could do audio out as well to other devices. And the charging, it does come with like a sort of like a laptop style charger, but the connection is Type-C. So if you did need to charge this on the go, if you have a battery bank, you can charge it. So they really thought of everything with this, which I really, really like. And I think it's just a cool device. And I feel like they've just done it correctly. That's not to say, like, I haven't taken a look at, like, who makes the, like, Nebula one? Anchor makes one. And there's a couple other companies that are, like, pretty mainstream that make this type of product.
Yeah.
The portable one. Like, one that, you know, kids can take in the room or you can take camping or any of that. So I haven't taken a look at those, but... For my first impression of this, I think it's very well done, very good quality. You know,
does it get hot? I didn't read the whole thing. I kind of skimmed over this one, but does it get hot? Like, because that was one thing that like the projectors with a traditional bulb would get hot and loud because they gotta have that fan running all the time to
cool
that bulb.
I wouldn't say it's quiet, but it's not loud. Does that make sense? Like, it's just you know it's on.
Okay.
But it's not loud by any means. Like I remember the old school projectors that were so loud. It's not like that. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's very well done. It has autofocus and auto keystone. So if you put it at an angle to the wall, it's going to, you know, a normal projector would be at an angle, but it has auto keystone. So it's going to center itself and it has autofocus. So it's going to focus itself. Yes. I remember like, projectors in the past, you'd have to like try to get it, angle it correctly, and then you'd have to use like the little ring to focus it.
And move the little feet with the little spinning. Yeah.
So with this, you don't have to do anything. It's so simple. On the bottom, it also has a thread, so you could like put it, so it's can be supported on a tripod pretty easily. That's cool. Too. So they've thought of everything with this. Now, it's not cheap by any means. It's $687.99. And it's kind of competing with some of the other projectors that are all-in-one units. You can get a 1080p LED projector for like a couple $100s, but it's not an all-in-one unit. Always has to be plugged in. Doesn't come with the Android TV box. And there are some... The Android TV box is made by a company called HAKO, and they're a Chinese company. And some people in some forums have had some concerns about like security with that. Now, you don't have to use the Android TV box. You can connect a Fire TV stick to the HDMI port or Chromecast or whatever you want. But I didn't have any issues necessarily with the Android TV box. It was kind of slow compared to my Fire TV. I just felt like it was a little clunky. It worked fine, but it was just a little more clunky compared to my Fire TV stick. But overall, I think it's a solid unit. And if you're somebody who wants this maybe for the kids, or you're somebody who, you know, wants to go take this camping or something like that, it's a compact unit. It comes with a nice carrying case too, to protect it. I think it's really cool. And, you know, it's a cool thing to, like I said, you can just essentially take anywhere. Yeah. And it's you can do up to a max of 120 inches.
But that's a pretty big screen size. You know?
Yeah. So really, really like it. And all the features just make it super easy to use for like the end user. You don't need to be like a tech person to set this up, but very easy. So definitely check out the review. Like I said, it is linked in the show notes here. From there, we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And somebody built a system in this case we featured a while back.
Yep.
This is the, what is this case? This is
the Alpha Cool Apex, isn't it?
Yeah, the Alpha Cool Apex case, which is like all real. We're talking about carbon fiber, all real carbon fiber.
Yeah.
And
very expensive case.
Very, very expensive case. And this is from Titan Rig. And it, you know, they didn't use the carbon fiber
the board, yeah,
but yeah, that MSI board on this, but really solid. But I love like this whole idea of like, what would you even call this, like a front reservoir here, but it's built into this, and this is a case you could do it in, obviously, but even in all the other ones we've seen with this front reservoir, I think it's just awesome.
I love that back panel.
The cover?
Yeah, the cover. Hiding a little bit of mess there, I'm sure. But yeah, this looks good. I think this is the first build I've seen in this case.
Yeah, same.
And the bends aren't anything like super fancy, but they do look good, right? It's not just all straight bends and fittings to make these lines and route the tubing, right? Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. And they've put the carbon fiber on the block there. And yeah, it's nice. Yeah, like cases like this that are like, why would you buy this? And then you see builds like this, you're like, okay, well, if I had unlimited funds, I could, you know.
This would be an option for sure.
Yeah. Such a great case, though. So shout out to Titan Rig for this one. Awesome, awesome build. From there, we're going to move on to news. And before we get into our articles, last week we talked about at length about the whole thing going on with NZXT. Mm-hmm. Gamers Nexus has done a follow-up video. And the CEO of NZXT showed up at Jay's Two Cents' place for like an hour-long interview.
Yeah.
If you want to watch those videos, those are on YouTube. If you're more interested in the story, and I don't know what's gonna happen with NZXT, but we'll see. But the community is not very happy with them, and for good reason, for a lot of the sort of bait and switch tactics and everything like that. Right. But if you want more of that story, check out Gamers Nexus. J2 Cents, they both have videos up if you want to see more, maybe hear NZXT side of things as well. It's all online for you to, did you watch any of this?
I haven't yet. No.
Okay. Yeah. They're like, I would watch some, at least the Gamers Nexus follow-up one I'd watch.
Yeah. You'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So moving on from that, Ryzen AI Max Plus Pro 365 APU. So we haven't
365 talked... or 395?
395, sorry. Okay. We haven't talked APUs in a while. And
we haven't.
And AMD is expected, their big launch at CES is expected to be their APUs. And for those not familiar, essentially an APU is their CPU with graphics built in. So you don't essentially need a graphics card. You just run this. And I've actually tested some APUs in the past, like years ago, from AMD, and they were decent. If you wanted to like 1080p title, like, you know, Fortnite, things like that, and you didn't need a dedicated graphics card, it was a solid solution. So Geekbench results have come out for their AI Max Plus Pro 395, which we're assuming is going to be their flagship unit for this generation.
Yeah.
It showed a Vulcan score of 67,004, which is pretty good because that outperforms an RTX 4060 mobile.
For a built-in.
Which scored 63,246 in the same test. Now, this specific APU is 16-core, 32-thread, Zen 5 architecture. It has a Radeon 8060S. Integrated GPU with 40 compute units, and that's based on the RDNA 3.5 architecture. This could be really good for those, you know, that sort of like middle ground, somebody who wants sort of like a system, maybe they want to game it, maybe they want to play Fortnite. There's a lot of people that like, oh, my kid wants to play Fortnite, like, I need to buy a new computer, or they're, you
know. Exactly.
I don't want to spend $3,000.
Yeah, my buddy was just asking about that. He's like, what's a good like rig for my kid to build without spending a lot of money? And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, it's tough. So yeah, an APU may be like the perfect thing for him.
And if this has really good solid performance at 1080p, I think a lot of people would be happy. It saves them a lot of money. Remember, I mean, you have to think like, what is the current price of a... let me see, go to Amazon. Just like... just a desktop RTX 4060. It's $304.
That's a big chunk.
You know, for the 4060 Evo C from ASUS. So like $300 just for 1080p gaming. Right. So if this could do it in a good power envelope and obviously under, you know, so you're not... sacrificing much, I think at 1080p it would, you know, you're going to see a lot of mini PCs built off this architecture. I think a lot of pretty cool small devices built off these,
and it's not a big power draw either. I think it's what, like 55 to 100, and
yeah,
watts. Yeah
55 to 130 watts. So I'm pretty excited. I'm sure we'll see this firsthand at CES.
Well, a lot of times you see like those motherboards that have a like display port or HDMI port on the back, and people are always like, what are these for? And like, well, you know, why does this exist? Where I'm going to put a GPU in there? Well, you slap one of these in, and now you take advantage of those ports for your connectivity
to
your monitor. So,
yeah, I think this market, you know, we don't really talk about that much on the channel, but like, you know, I mean, a lot of people are very strapped for cash, and building a new PC is not a cheap thing. So having something that does the job, allows you to play, a lot of people just want to play one game too. They're not like a mainstream gamer. They want to play Fortnite. They want to play Minecraft. They want to play Roblox. Especially kids, like they want to play certain specific, and that's all they want to play. So if this can do that at, whatever, you know, at 1080p, pretty good. I think you'll be able to, and they'll have their own PC that was fairly inexpensive for the parents. I think it's a good I think it's a solid thing. So, like I said, we'll see that. We should see that in action in January at CES. So, now talking about a system that I don't think anybody needs, and I don't understand it at all. And I don't understand, like, Arctic is a cooling company.
Mm-hmm.
And they put out this product called Senza, which is a passively cooled PC powered by Ryzen CPUs. So this is what it looks like, Ryan. It looks like a radiator almost, because it essentially is a radiator with a CPU, right, with a right system in the center. So if you look at this photo, like this is the system in here. And then you have huge heat sinks that come out with heat pipes to cool it off. Now, their application of this is odd to me. It's made to go under a desk. So here's a bottom of a desk. This is where it would be. You have a controller that goes up here to the front of the desk.
Yep. It seems like you're trapping heat under the desk, right? Because you've got those grills, essentially, for passive airflow through it. Like, that heat, at least looking at this image, looks like it's just going to get trapped on the bottom side of the desk.
Yeah, so it has a Ryzen 5 5500 GT, an AMD Radeon RX Vega 7, 16 gigabytes of memory. That's the low end. At the high end, it has a Ryzen 7 5700G Pro, AMD Radeon RX Vega 8 graphics. But like, okay, if this is your application,
yep.
Is this a business application?
I know. Like, what's the point?
And if it is a business application, wouldn't a mini PC suit the business better? It's smaller. Right.
It's more universal, so if it's a part, you have an issue with a part or something, it's more easily replaceable or repairable. Yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, I actually think it's a cool product. I love passively cooled stuff. We've seen them in the past, but I just don't see where somebody's buying this. Like, what are you doing with this? Where is this needed? Where either a low powered laptop for a biz, like, I'm just thinking a bit like, this is like, I don't think a consumer's buying this. Why would you buy this?
I don't think you would. Yeah.
As a consumer. So I'm thinking this is a business application, right? So what business is buying this whole contraption instead of either a laptop or a mini PC or a NUC or something similar?
I mean, and you know, you can say silence, but some of those mini PCs are essentially silent. And if you were putting it under the desk like that, it may end up being silent with just a little fan in it because it's far enough away and under the table you don't hear it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. It's like I said, I think it's neat, but I'm like, where's the application?
It's a product that nobody needs. That's that's how I see it. But maybe there's some weird application that we don't know about that this is needed.
I guess.
I don't know what that is, or I'm trying to think in my head what an application for this would be.
If you find out, let me know.
Yeah, I just don't know. That's my big thing. So, so pretty interesting there from Arctic. We have Corey in the chat. Good to see you, Corey. Okay, so Fantex, they have their next link, LINQ, to not get sued by Corsair. This is their whole ecosystem of products, much like Corsair, that use a single cable to connect to each other, and you can daisy chain devices into a controller. And they have software.
They do.
They do have software.
It looks okay.
Yeah. I like that more companies are doing this. I absolutely hate, oh, we need a controller for the RGB. We need this. We have all these cables. We've really gotten away from that. But the only thing I don't like is they didn't change the fan design. So you still have like these daisy chain fans like this. It's not, they're not clickable.
Well, and that's where I'm like, those are like the fans. What cooler was that I just looked at that had the fans that were just like that?
I don't remember, but
it was like the latest one I did. Anyways. Yeah. Oh, it was those AlphaCool fans on that Asus cooler.
Yeah.
We're connected like that. Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. And then the connections on the controller itself in between them, it's like a proprietary, you know, it's this Link 6 connector that's a 6-pin proprietary type connection. They do have legacy connectors there for your 3-pin LED and PWM fans, which is nice, right? You can still support some non-Link 6 devices.
But like, why? Yeah, I guess. But like, why? You don't, well, I mean, that doesn't matter.
I mean, and I guess it goes back to like, Height did the same thing, right? They're just using USB Type-C, and Corsair does the same thing with their Link controller. So everybody's doing it a little different. I wish they, again, could all agree on a common interface and connection, and then these things could possibly be interchangeable or work together with each other, right? And that's why I was excited initially that Height was using the Type-C connection, because I thought, oh, that might, you know, catch
on. I do have to say, out of all of them, the Type C is the best,
sure,
because it's easier to connect. These connectors, they're not as easy. The Corsair ones are really hard to pull out. They have tabs on them so that you can actually pull them out. But this makes integrating components from the same company so much easier. Like, as you can see, you have your AIO with one, like, you know, say this is your system, you have your AIO going to a rear fan, going to the controller, and then going out to three more fans, like say in the front of your system, like super easy. Mm-hmm. And it saves so much time compared to like the first generation of RGB stuff with controllers was a mess. So I like it. Why not call it something else though?
Yeah, you're just kind of asking for trouble.
Well, I think that's why it's a Q, not a K, so they wouldn't get sued by Corsair. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how the software works. I was talking to somebody replied to our story on this on Twitter, and they were saying that they're interested to see how the software works as well. Yeah, that's the biggest thing with any of these is like, how does the software work? How often is the software updated? What devices support this? Yeah, you know, is there any conflicts with motherboard stuff? Like, that's the biggest thing, because if your software is garbage, people don't want to use it, and they'll just like turn the stuff off. So we'll see. If it looks pretty decent, but you never know how any of the software stuff goes. And again, it consistently needs to be updated. That's the biggest thing when it comes to software. So we'll see. But it's nice to see making things easier. Is definitely a good thing. Old Man in the Chat says, is Fantex using the same fan controller in their PC cases? I think in their latest one that they just announced. Their latest one will have that same NexLink controller inside, but everything previously it won't. Just like how Corsair had to do, right? Like the case I reviewed is like the Link version of the case because it comes with a Link controller. It's the same type of thing. So you'll see that going forward, though, and I think if they keep that, you know, like we've seen over the years, Corsair's, it was IQ, and then it's IQ Link, and as products develop, we'll see how long the lifespan is of this specific connector and controller. But like I said, if it makes connecting everything easier, I'm definitely a fan, especially for like a first-time builder, too. Like, I mean, if you were doing an RGB fan controller, smart fan build like 4 years ago, it was
a mess.
It was like daisy chaining everything and then going into the controller, and then the controller had to go to like a USB 2.0 header or something. And it's like a mess. So,
I mean, we're still there on a lot of them.
Still just having one cable to go to the next device And like as a beginner, you could easily figure that out on your own, I think.
Right.
So, moving on to cases, Cooler Master new case series, which looks like they may be going back to the old school looking cases here. This is their Master Frame series from Cooler Master. So
I'm just not excited about this.
Okay. I'm not necessarily either, because it's nothing crazy. I think it's good quality. The thing that I'm gonna like, hopefully it's just good quality. But they start at $199. It says, each design brings together luxury, performance, and customization. And if we watch the video, let me bring this up big here for you guys. But like, so you can see it's like a real frame.
I'm losing your audio when you're talking and this video is playing for some reason.
Are you still losing my audio?
I got you now. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It almost looks like, do I have to put this together or is it going to come assembled?
And I assume the different versions will come assembled and then like that.
I mean, we've seen optional front and tops and sides. That's nothing new. I don't know. I do like this here where they kind of change this right here, take the corner out and put a curved piece of glass in. That's kind of cool that you can do that. But are most people going to do that? I don't know. They buy it with the intention to, but how many actually do? I don't know. I guess I need to see this in person.
But like this small one is $199.
It does look, yeah, starting at. And that's probably the steel version, not the aluminum, right?
I don't know. I don't know. So I would hope these are aluminum.
Well, there's two versions, steel and aluminum.
Oh, well then. I don't know. They look kind of cool, but yeah, I mean, I like...
They talk about them being ultimate custom PC case and modular, and I'm like, I don't see that much modularity in these things outside of the frame.
We haven't seen any good modular PC cases in a very long time, I'd say.
Right.
But I like the look for me. That's just me. I like this kind of style. I think that the customization is nice. I want to see the quality. I think that's a big thing for me is I want to see the quality of these. I'm sure we'll see them at CES.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what these look like. So we'll
report back.
Yeah, we'll report back in a few weeks when we're at CES. But it's like, as Old Man says, it's definitely a modern design. Yeah, it is. And I want to also see like ease of use features. Like so many case companies have really excelled at like making things so much easier for you to install. And Cooler Master needs to do that as well.
Yeah.
On these cases for me to be like 100% sold on them, I'd say. So that is the Master Frame series. From Cooler Master, Raspberry Pi, which we don't really talk about, haven't really talked about. It's not,
we talked about them was like when they weren't available or they were like, you know, charging a lot because they were so hard to find.
So I thought this was super cool. So Raspberry Pi 500 came out and it's essentially a keyboard that's a computer, which I love this design for small functional system for low costs. And I remember so many companies really tried to do like the super low cost computer. And I think Raspberry Pi kind of has with this whole system. So Raspberry Pi 500, you can see it, all the connections here. It features a 2.4 gigahertz quad core ARM Cortex A76 processor, 8 gigabytes of RAM. Does support dual 4K 60 HDMI output, has Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 5.0, and you can see the USB ports and everything on it. So that's a really cool, small little device that's like essentially your keyboard, which is cool. I think it's
especially
pretty
cool. $90, right? Like,
yeah, so it's $90 for the Raspberry Pi 500. That includes a 32 gigabyte Raspberry Pi SD card. Oh, wait, no. So for... this is 90.
But it comes with the 32 gig card.
Yeah, it comes with a 32 gig card, sorry. And then you can buy the desktop kit, which is 120. So that includes the Raspberry Pi 500, a mouse, a USB-C power supply, micro HDMI to HDMI cable, and a beginner's guide for Raspberry Pi. Now to pair with this, they've released a Raspberry Pi monitor. And this is $100, I think.
Yeah,
$100. So essentially for $190 or like probably $220, because you'd want to get the desktop kit that has the mouse and the power supply. But for $220, you get what essentially is this system right here.
Yeah.
And this monitor is just a 1080p HD monitor, 15.6 inches, has an integrated stand. I think this is like for somebody who wants something to play around with like this, it's a really cool system. Or like for even for like a kid's first computer even maybe?
Yeah, I was trying to think of like the use case, because there's obviously the people that are like already Raspberry Pi fans that are going to want this just because. But then, yeah, maybe a student computer. The only issue with giving it to like a student or something is you're outside of that either Microsoft or I know Apple, but like Chrome is a huge thing, that Google ecosphere, right? My son's got a Chromebook that he uses. So it's, you're not inside one of those ecospheres that they're going to get introduced to in K through 12, right?
Yeah.
Not that you've got to stay in those, but yeah, I don't know. It'll have its use. And I think for the price point, it's a really cool setup.
Yeah, I really like the idea of putting the whole system in the keyboard, just simplifies things. And then teaming it with just like a simple, it's probably just like one of those portable monitors, you know, that we've seen, right. Making it simple and having the whole system. You can get the entire thing ready to go for $220. That gives you the mouse, the keyboard, the power supply, everything you need to get this running.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah, pretty cool. So definitely check that out if you are interested. Moving on from there, do you remember, and I reviewed one, do you remember Steam Machines?
Yes. I don't remember which one you reviewed, but I do remember
the Steam reviewed yes. an Alienware Steam Machine. If you guys don't remember, Steam had their Steam OS, which was that's what runs on what's it called? The Steam Deck. It's a Linux-based operating system that runs Steam, essentially. When Steam OS first came out, they had Steam machines, and they partnered with all the big manufacturers. Every big computer manufacturer or system manufacturer had a Steam machine, which is essentially a box that would play Steam games, came with a controller. It was made for gaming, and this was years ago. And the one I reviewed was really nice with Alienware. Valve has... powered by SteamOS branding for third-party hardware. So Steam machines didn't really last that long. And now this asset pack for powered by SteamOS was sort of leaked. And you can see like all of this whole asset pack that they have. And the one that's obviously interesting is powered by SteamOS. So are we going to see one, Steam machines come back? Two, is Steam going to allow SteamOS to run on something like an ROG Ally, to run on all of the other gaming handhelds? Cool. Do you think that's something they would be doing?
I mean, possibly, because you think about those handsets, the ROG Ally, for example, you know, it's just running Windows and, you know, whatever you want to run on top of it. So there's no reason they would be against it. It'd probably be cheaper than a license from Microsoft to run Windows on it, right? I'm sure that SteamOS licensing is cheaper than a Windows license. So yeah, there's some
possibility. Yeah, and like there. You could do the ROG Ally SteamOS version that's $100 cheaper.
Right. Yeah.
You know. So we'll see. We'll see what this means for Steam OS, and will we see non-Steam Deck gaming handhelds being powered by SteamOS? So yeah, we'll see. But pretty interesting there as well. Old man in the chat says, I remember Steam machines. There were two main complaints. They were underpowered and there wasn't enough support for the games. Yeah, so the big thing with SteamOS initially is that it was built on Linux. And not all the games, you know, specific like were Linux compatible, sort of. It was just like now that's not an issue, but that back then it was an issue. So Steam also set a new record with 39 million concurrent players.
It's a lot.
Yeah, a lot of players. So 39 million concurrent players online.
It was on December 8th. I figured it would have been on the holiday weekend for like Thanksgiving.
That's December 8th.
All right.
And that has a lot to do with Marvel Rivals coming out. And what is the other game? There's some other game.
Path of Exile 2?
Yeah, Path of Exile 2. So that peaked at 578,000 players. Marvel Rivals reached around 450,000 players. So it's definitely good to see, like, new games getting pretty popular, people like checking them out. Marvel Rivals, which we're going to play tonight, is free to play.
Yeah.
So still the GOATs, though. Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
852,000
PUBG people. Remains up there, too. Like,
yeah.
We're still playing it. I haven't played PUBG in years. I'd like to go back and try it again. You know, like, it was fun.
And it also coincided with Indiana Jones coming out as well. A lot of people are really excited for that game. Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of all added up. I'd be curious to see these numbers in a couple weeks, right? When we get to that holiday Christmas break and you got people coming home or have more, a little more free time. They're not in class and, like, you know, kids are out of school and people are off work on vacation, got some time. Like, yeah, do we break 40? Who knows?
That would be cool. That'd be really cool if that happened. So yeah, we'll see. But it's definitely cool to see. And like I said, we'll be playing that tonight. So if you guys want to keep on hanging out with us after the podcast, we do a gaming stream and we'll be playing Marvel Rivals. So this was an interesting product that I saw. Talk about all the mobile gaming. If you're gaming on your phone, Razer has their mobile gaming controller thing that you put your phone in.
Uh-huh.
And that's been out for a while, and that's kind of like the standard. Well, a company called GameSir, they launched their X3 Pro mobile gaming controller. And the thing that's really interesting about this one is that it has integrated cooling in it. And it has this sort of retro design. Like, this is a very...
It looks like a iMac.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm a fan of that or not.
Yeah, it's not my favorite look, but... I mean, the buttons look current, like the clear X, Y, A, B. Those look pretty current. The thumb sticks look a little, I don't know, and that fan looks a little sus too, but.
Yeah.
The fan, I'm sure, is helpful for phones, because some games will really start heating your phone up.
My phone's been getting really hot lately. I don't know why.
It's that Apple tax.
And it's that Apple, just like, they're like, you have an iPhone 15, it's the 16 came out, you didn't get it.
Oh, speaking of the iPhone 15, I don't know if you knew this, but the new movie, it's coming out like in June, 28 years later, like the 28 Days Later movie series, the zombie movie. They filmed it all on iPhone 15 Pro Max.
That's crazy.
Yeah, almost all of it, supposedly. And I watched the trailer and I was like...
Well, yeah, because when we talked about the iPhone 15 launch, I think...
That was all filmed on it as well.
Yeah, the commercial, the entire thing was filmed on it.
No, it had every possible accessory and lens attached.
Yeah.
But still, the fact that it can do it, yeah.
I mean, the end user will never make use of the Apple ProRes, like the full, I don't know what it shoots, like the max res that it shoots, but like the average consumer doesn't use that, but it's there, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah, I saw some people talking about that movie, like the trailer, but I haven't watched it. So, but this device, like I said, you can see it will hold your phone. It's, was it 60 or was it 70? $79.99, right around the same price as the Razer one. That looks nice.
Yeah, it's worth checking out.
I don't play games on my phone though. I don't know if like you guys do, but
there's a couple that I play, but none that would take advantage of
this
controller input, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe playing PUBG Mobile. Maybe that's why it's still on the Steam list there. Then finally, Microsoft. So the big thing with Windows 11, and we have one of our most popular videos on our YouTube channel is how to enable TPM so you can install Windows 11. That was the big thing. People are like, oh, I have to upgrade my computer. You know, Windows 11 doesn't support the hardware. Now Microsoft is dropping the mandatory TPM 2.0 requirement for Windows 11, which is really interesting. And I think it's because not enough people have moved over to Windows 11. I think that's the consensus in my head. So you'll be able to do it. It won't say that this computer as incompatible hardware. That's the normal error you would get if you tried to install Windows 11 on a system that didn't have a TPM 2.0 device.
Well, it's not just they're not just removing the requirement for TPM 2.0. I'm pretty sure that they're opening up the CPU generations as well.
Okay.
It's not just the TPO 2.0 requirement, if I'm reading correctly.
And
because I was looking at this a little bit earlier in the week.
But from what I read, you're not going to get security updates though if you install this way. So it's like,
yeah, they're like, yeah, you can run it, but you're not going to get the updates that you would.
So like, why will?
I don't. What's the point?
I guess like, when do security updates run out on Windows 10? Have they run out?
October 24th of 2025. It's either October 24th or October 14th.
Yeah. So this is a really weird thing because you would think that Microsoft wants to get everybody, as many people as possible, on the same on Windows 11, right?
Yeah.
But you're sort of shooting yourself in the leg when you're saying, yeah, you can do it, but you don't get security updates.
Right, so what's the point?
Yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
But
whole thing is with all the requirements is very odd, right?
It's like, very, very, very odd. In general. So like I said, I think most people, it's very easy to enable TPM. And if you have an older system that doesn't, in the CPU, older CPU that doesn't support it as well, I would say stay on Windows 10.
Yeah.
You know, until you're only going to get security updates till 2025, but yeah. But yeah, that brings us to what we have coming up next week. I'll be taking a look at a graphics card. So I'm taking a look at the Gigabyte's RTX 4070 Super Gaming OC, Gaming OC 12G. You can see right here. I haven't taken a look at a 4070 Super, I don't believe. So be excited to take a look at that one. And then I'm also taking a look at the Height Canvas, what they call the Intense Play Mat. It's a mouse mat that has a bunch of RGB lighting in it.
Now, is this there like a second version of this? Did they have
one? It's the first version.
Okay. So we saw this. I feel like we've seen this.
We saw a prototype.
Maybe that's what it was.
We saw a prototype. I think the finished version was at CES this year.
Okay.
But they're just shipping it now.
Wow.
So it's just but the way they do their RGB lighting is pretty interesting. So I'll definitely show you all of that, in the review. So definitely, stay tuned for that. Question of the week, since we talked about Marvel Rivals and other gaming stuff, and there were so many people on Steam, like, is there any other games besides Apex that you've been playing or checking out?
On my phone, I was just looking on my phone to remember what it's called. Like, you always see, like, on YouTube ads or just ads in general on your phone, they're always playing the one where you have to, like, the guy's shooting and there's like zombies coming out.
Don't tell me you're playing this game.
Yeah, Last War.
Oh,
I've been playing on my phone for a while because you're like, you watch the ad and you're like, come on, man, you got to go to the left and then to the right.
Yeah, I see those like on social media. You'll see that,
but ad. You could never find like a legit game that was like that.
Oh, really?
And this one is. Right, like, because I looked forever and ever, and everybody in the reviews is like, this is not, that's like BS, it's not what this game is. This one is, for the most part. There's other like aspects to it, but it still has that function. Okay, so I've been playing that on my phone very casually.
What's it called?
Last War.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've been playing that, but then Marvel Rivals came out on Friday to general population, right? It's been in beta and testing for quite a while. That came out Friday, so I've been playing it a bit. I've been really enjoying it.
Yeah, I played it last night for a little bit. It was pretty good. It's just, I feel like all those games are the same. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, you know. It's just, yeah, like, you're, you know, but it's cool. If you're a fan of like the Marvel universe, I think you'll love it because you can play all the people. Some of the people,
yeah, a lot of them.
A lot of them, yeah. And I don't even know who half of them are. So when I was playing last night. So, yeah. But yeah, we'll be playing that. We have our live stream coming up, our Twitch live stream. If you guys want to check that out, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. One other thing that I did want to talk about is that one, I got the DJI Mic Minis right here.
Nice.
Microphones that we'll be using at CES. So like, Ryan, look how small this is. It's like super, super small.
Those are pretty small.
And what's cool about these is that you can just buy this mic and you can connect it to like the Pocket 3 just without even buying the whole set, which is pretty cool. And I connected it to the Pocket 3, just like seamless. Very easy to connect it to my camera. I tested it with my phone. Like, it works on everything. It's just...
Now, those don't have like a 3.5 millimeter connection, right?
No, they do. So or the microphones? The receiver does.
The receiver, sure.
Yeah. But no, these don't have a 3.5 mil and they don't have a USB port either. There's no built-in storage like the Mic 2s.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, for most people, that's perfectly fine. There's no screen on the receiver. There's just lights that let you know what's going on. But what is cool is on the mics themselves, if you have this either, if you have these either connected to a DJI device and you open the DJI Mimo app, you can customize all the settings of the mic.
Oh, okay. So you're not limited to just that. You can actually adjust them.
Yeah, you can actually adjust everything, which is really cool. It's per receiver. It's per mic. So it's not on the receiver itself. So you could have one mic be like your noise canceling mic and have that enabled, but it's pretty cool. There's a lot you can do with these. I was kind of really surprised. And charging case, nice and small. I'm really excited to use these at CES. And they really like they're so much smaller than
hidden.
Yeah, they're really, really small, which is great. So,
what headphones are you wearing right now?
The Asus ones that are the RGB ones that I reviewed. Why?
I was just curious. I don't recognize them as much.
Yeah, they're the let's see. They are the ROG Delta 2s from Asus. Very comfortable, and they're pretty. They're not necessarily the best when it comes to gaming as far as like 3D sound, but they're really good. And they have a lot of really cool features, and they're the ones that you can. I could be like taking a call right now and still hear you. So you can do Bluetooth and USB or wired at the same time. Yeah, cool. Which is really cool. So yeah, check out my review. It's on the website here. So if you want to check out the review of that stuff, if you want to, it's right there. One last thing that I did want to talk to you guys about. So I was just like perusing Amazon Prime Video and this show came up recommended to me and it's called Secret Level. So if you're a Prime member, you have access to this. And essentially it's like short stories based on in game universes. So like there's one for Warhammer, there's one for Unreal Tournament, there's one for Pac-Man, there's one for Armored Core, and they're like 15 minutes long, right?
Cool.
But
it's like there's a Mega Man maybe.
Yeah, that's what I meant. There's Mega Man, not Pac-Man. There's Mega, like, but it's built within, again, these game universes. So they're short stories. It's pretty cool. The Warhammer one was awesome. And the Unreal Tournament one was really cool as well. So, and it's like cool to see them like recreate like the levels, especially like the Unreal Tournament levels.
Right. You recognize it. Yeah.
Yeah. You recognize it. So, and you recognize just like, the way that the person was acting, like he was sniping and like you knew there was a sniper map, like that's what you would do in that map. And it was really cool. But yeah, if you're a Prime member, check it out. It's called Secret Level. And I think there's 8 episodes and each one is, I'm not used to using this on a desktop here. I don't know. Not sure, but check it out. Like I said, it's like you could watch, like I said, each one is like 15 minutes. So worth checking out.
Old man asks, isn't there a Secret Level episode for Concord? Gosh, I hope they didn't spend time making
the episode. No, it's like it's kind of like really well known. I was kind of surprised to see the Unreal Tournament in there. But there's like Dungeons and Dragons,
Should have got a whole list of stuff coming up.
I don't know what Sifu is. It's a kung fu game. Then there's this. I don't know what this one is. New World. It's based on an action role playing game. Then you have Unreal Tournament, Warhammer 40,000, Pac Man. Oh, there's a Pac Man one. Crossfire. I don't know what that's. Is that a, might be a Counter-Strike one? I don't know. Armored Core one, The Outer Worlds, Mega Man one.
Yeah, I'll have to check these out.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. So if you want to check them out, yeah, they're basically, like I said, in game worlds. And then, like I said, they're not, oops. Oh, did I not have my whole screen up this whole time? Oh,
you didn't.
Oh, cool. I'm glad I could go through this with you guys and not have my screen up at all. But yeah, it's a, like I said, it's called Secret Level. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you got it. So yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, talking about games and gaming, we are going to be gaming, like I always say. So, again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, jump over there. If you want to watch us play some, Marvel Rivals, it'd be fun. And, see if Ryan is good at any games besides Apex.
We'll find out,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. So, that is it for this week. Of course, I appreciate, or we both appreciate, all you guys coming out, everybody in the live chat, and we will see everybody next week.